noticed Muller's commandeered the mic even though he doesn't use it.
I know.
Oh, he's sat there now with it pressed to his chest. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the big stories in tech, all the things that have gone on that you wouldn't talk about on a Macintosh show. So it's an Apple-free zone. We're here to decide whether the world is going to live through tech or die through tech. If you're following the US presidential election, then you'll have no interest in this show because it shows some intelligence.
Nice.
Jesus Christ, I'm sick and tired of that. I'm getting fed up with Twitter as well. It's like a cesspool there at the moment. Joining us to discuss the week in technology and pick the biggest stories of the day of the week, Alistair Dabbs from The Register. How are you doing, sir?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you very much.
Excellent. You've had a busy week, you said. Was it anything in particular? Or?
Yes, it was.
The coughing in the background is Muller because he's got a cold.
No, it's not. He's dropped one.
Oh, nice.
What?
It's only a small studio and the bloke drinking Guinness has just farted. you've obviously had a better week than me then, mate. As the article, I saw you put an article in, where was it, day was it? You tweeted it out, Muller, and I read it.
It was about Mac fans anyway.
Yeah, it was about the Mac and
About when you updated to Sierra and your fans overheated or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I thought they'd solved that.
I've stopped using Safari, but I know it's not a Mac show.
No, it was interesting.
Yeah, as soon as I started, I couldn't work out why all the fans were going on the computer. And I had a look under Activity Monitor, and it was all Safari. Safari was using... 103% of my system resources.
That's good going.
And every additional window used up another 105%. So I think the problem was that Safari doesn't know how percentages work, and that was causing the fans to start up.
I think that's kind of a monopolies thing with the US market. They don't understand percentages of markets, so
they've percentagized them.
Yeah, they haven't worked out percentages yet. They'll get that next century. Next to him, it's Carrie Holtzman from the place I've just slagged off terribly. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
It's good. It's good. Have you done daylight? You don't do daylight savings, do you? So,
in Arizona, we don't. I think there's two states. I don't think Hawaii does it, and I don't think Arizona does it.
Yeah, no. So they did it last Sunday, apparently. The last Sunday in October, so they're the same as us next week. But they do it 2 weeks early in March. Throws us into absolute bedlam. Glad you're here, buddy.
Yeah, it's confusing for me as well, because with California right next door, and I do a lot of work in California, I have to know when that time change is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Wrong scheduling. You get to do a whole show this week.
Can you imagine?
I can't. I don't know if we can manage with you for a whole show.
Yeah, and after that, we'll see if you have me back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. next to him is Camps in glorious, bathed, serene vision. Now we've got your camera sorted.
Camera's fine. Evening.
The beard's looking lustrous, mate, is it?
The beard's not here for too much longer, to be honest. It's only following the sinus up. It's been that tender around here that I've not dared go with it to try and get rid of it. But in the next few days, beard will be gone.
So it's only been there to ease the tampon.
It's been there to catch the dribbles.
Okay. For anyone that didn't listen to last week's show, you've had a nose operation, so.
it's going soon.
Right. The whole lot, or do you grow that in like 6 hours or something?
This is 2 weeks.
No, it's northern.
this is 2 weeks.
I thought you were bedding in for the winter as well, maybe.
Great idea. I might think about that.
Get your best Grizzly Adams on.
Yeah, save on the eating.
Yeah.
It's not spreading TB, is it?
What? Yeah, the badger cull of Yorkshire and Camps gets done by mistake.
Just the beard.
I'll keep my eyes open.
Very shortly.
Yeah, that's you now, TB boy. Every time you got a beard, you're going to be TB boy. and righty boy.
Hey,
how
mate.
You doing, man?
I'm all right. I'm doing all right.
What's going on in our Far East correspondent?
Well, do you like the clobber?
Tell us, are you wearing a tie?
And a suit.
Really?
Well, and your gym jams. Earlier, I think you were being dissed about your suit, and you said, I'm going to wear my nice suit jacket to the Big Show.
Oh, so mate.
I went in, this is my wedding jacket and my wedding tie, and I thought, and with Miller talking about dropping things in the studio, I thought I'd bring a bit of class to the Big Show.
Good
are
man.
Are you wearing trousers?
Yeah, not sure about the tutu.
Yeah, no. Yeah, to be fair, you have got your pyjamas underneath that.
I know, no, there you go.
For those on audio, oh no, we didn't need that.
So, Doctor Who Jim Jam.
Nothing makes your wedding suit look finer than Star Wars Jim right. Jams. You're only just showing off
because Doctor Who Jim Jams, are they bigger on the inside? Is that the idea?
Oh, no, those are his, Doctor Who ones. No, those are his Doctor Who ones.
And that's backbench.
Have you? So you're just showing off because you're the only person that can still fit in your wedding jacket.
I don't think it does up actually. I wouldn't even.
Oh,
dare.
We all feel better now.
Prove
then.
It. Prove
I'm not going to depress. No, actually, there's a bit of resistance there actually.
Excellent. Now, if you've watched the Bash video from last year, there's a bit where we cut away and we play I Believe I Can Fly, and there's a bloke who looks absolutely mental bounding on a space hopper next to AZ. And Graham, that's him, he's here. Graham, how are you, mate?
I'm okay, mate. Thank you for the invite that I forced myself upon you.
No. You when you said, "Do you mind if I'm passing? Do you mind if I come in?" No, definitely. Everyone's
allowed. Well, that's very kind of you to say yes.
We don't have ticket systems or anything like that. If you're passing and you're here and you want a curry and you want to talk, and you're more than welcome to.
Wonderful, thank you.
And you've joined us.
Yes. Yeah, I've come down to grace you with my presence.
Muller bought his 40-year-old Casio calculator the other week. You've bought your 40-year-old Casio watch.
Oh, yeah.
Have you got your stylus for that so you can operate the calculator on it?
That is genuinely my everyday watch.
And is it a Casio or is it a Texas Instruments?
It is a Casio.
Oh, blimey. Cool.
I bought that because I was scarred as a child because my parents would not buy me such a thing.
Right.
And then about 6 years ago, I just cruising through Amazon, as you do.
You'd saved up enough.
Wow. A Casio calculator watch. Yes. Brilliant. £17.
God, blimey. I saw you came. That's more than it was when he bought it.
I had one of those and I bought it for myself. I treated myself.
Excellent.
And I tell you what, it has not lost a second in 6 years.
There's got to be a joke in there, but I can't.
It's lost 6 years in 1 second.
And Muller, how you doing, mate?
I'm fine, thanks.
Excellent. You brought us a story, you reckon, to set the birds and the pigeons and the
birds
cats
amongst the pigeons, yeah,
all together, haven't you? But,
yeah, the pigeon amongst birds. The cats. Anyway,
well, try it again.
I've just noticed Bromin likes you. You're on.
Try it again.
You better carry on with
Right. Who's got the first story? Who wants to get in the chat room? Who wants to get us going and start the ball rolling?
I've given you mine.
No, yeah, but you gave it me 2 hours ago, man. I'm not scrolling back 2 hours in the chat room. Right, you see, look, now that's slow for Righty. That pace was slow for Righty. You had all had the chance to beat him.
I wasn't on the freaking cursor.
All had the chance, but no, Righty's still ahead because you're all arguing amongst yourselves.
Righty's first every time.
Righty's always first. Righty boy, talk us through your story. Google begins its big pixel push in the UK.
Yeah, so today's the big launch of the Google Pixel. So what they say is their first Android, their first phone, which isn't their first phone, but it is their first phone. And apparently it's rather nice. So in America, they had lots of big advertising, billboards and electronic screens around Times Square. And with the demise of Samsung, I thought they'd really kind of jump on the opportunity to sell it. But over here in the UK, I thought we'd see a bit more of a push, but it's all a bit of a damp squib. It was launched today in a pop-up store inside the Currys PC World on Tottenham Court Road, which isn't glamorous for anyone.
Was there a bloke on the other side of London with an open suitcase and a spiv tie?
Well, yeah. To make it even more fashionable, they branded a coffee cart with the Google logo just to make you feel like you're at home. But you think about what Samsung do in terms of promotion and what Apple do in terms of promotion. You know, the Note 7 is dead. It blows up. You know, and they've got a long way to go to bring their brand back. This was the time to go. This is a Google phone. It's stock Android. Ooh. This is, you know, you've been dealing with shit all your lives with people skinning our operating system. I was playing my dad. My dad got a Moto G fourth generation yesterday. And it's a Moto G Play. So it's stock Android. And stock Android is gorgeous. But the problem is, Google aren't really doing anything to sell it. And I asked a few people around today, do you know what the Pixel is? And they're like, no. But everyone knows when a new iPhone's coming out. And a lot of people on a lot of podcasts and websites that I go to going, well, Google are going up to like straight up against Apple and Samsung. But if you're in Curry's PC world, you're not going up against Dixon's, are you?
Yeah, so Google are going straight up against Apple and Samsung with a coffee cart made by Google.
Yeah, that's it.
There you go. And it's actually a pedal-driven one. It's not even motorized.
No, and I just thought, you know, for a launch of a phone, and, you know, I know we're a small country and maybe they think we're insignificant and all that, but I'm sure that Google makes a lot of money out of the UK. And, you know, we're probably, you know, even for Apple, we're kind of a second market. So, you know, we get the things first and all those sort of things. But, you know, if you didn't go into Curry's Pizza World, and who goes in there anymore, you wouldn't know there was a Pixel phone at all. And I think on all the photographs on that thing, there's no queue. I think there's about three people at the stand. You know, that's no launch for a phone that's £650, and they're betting their life on it. So yeah,
there was a photograph in Metro today of the first guy who in the queue who got his phone, and he looked like a complete knob. You know, really bad haircut. You know, he just not aspirational in the slightest.
Was this somebody who slept in, rolled up at 11:20 and thought, shit, I'm still first in the queue?
Yeah, he looked pretty fresh. He didn't look like he'd been in a sleeping bag, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, you can imagine not selling his spot at the front of the line like they do for Apple launches. £50 and wear this shirt for me, mate.
they gave him two as well, one for his mum.
Buy one. Google's bug off offer. Actually, that picture does look like there's a lot of people there. They've obviously paid someone to come in. There's been a bloke out the front, like an Ibiza nightclub.
Oh, come in, the drinks are cheap.
Come in and have a free coffee on us.
Yeah, that lady in the middle's got the Sambucas out.
It's a real shame, because I think the price is wrong on the Pixel, but the specs on the phone actually look pretty good. And exactly what you've just said there, Paul, the stock Android OS. It's pretty good. There's extra things on the Pixel that isn't available on the rest of the skinned Android devices that are out there in the marketplace. And Google have missed a massive opportunity.
Well, add in the infrastructure issues that Samsung have had with the Note, and the fact that Apple are still not supplying some people with phones at less than a month waiting list. And this was the time to capitalise. If you were going to launch a phone, okay, they've launched it at a bad time because Samsung was going great guns, but now that they're not around with the Note 7, you've got to go, hang on a second, maybe that little coffee soiree that we fancied on the Tottenham Court Road ought to be upscaled a little bit.
Yeah, because I'll see nothing on TV for it or anything like that. There are a few adverts on YouTube, which is obviously their service, but I skip them out of 4 seconds anyway.
Now, Alistair, you're a proper journalist as opposed to the rest of us. have you had a review unit to play with this yet? Or?
Well, me? No, I'm not the kind of person you send review units to.
Why, is that? Do you trash them mostly then? Is that?
No, it's a specialist market, shall we say, reviewing phones these days.
Okay. So have you seen much of this? Have you got any opinions on it? Are you... Is it a phone that really warrants this low level, because it is pretty poor, or is it?
I don't know. It could be Google trying to differentiate itself from the way Apple does something, and certainly everyone would want to differentiate their way.
Well, there's a tick in that box.
Yeah. You know.
So I don't know. You know, I mentioned this kind of hipster type thing. Maybe they're trying to. That's part of the chic they're trying to. Put across. I've really no idea. They've got full wraparounds on today's Evening Standard and Metro in London. I don't know about around the rest of the country.
Right.
I think the proper launch.
Well, I don't understand. And I've just done a quick Google search to find out what they did in New York City, because obviously it's launched there as well. And what it looks like they've done, I'll just pop a link to this in the chat room. What it looks like they've done over there is they've actually got a store, so it's a pop-up store, but they've got their own branded Google store rather than going to a Curry's PC World. They've got the Google signs outside, and the designs inside look pretty cool as well. But at least it's a Google store, not set in the back of a Currys.
Well, okay, I hear what you're saying. I hate that phrase because it means, but you don't agree.
Yeah.
But that does look like Johnny's bread sheet with a quick bit of poster painted on it.
Yeah,
and a reasonable post-it note budget.
Grandma's knickers.
It's grandma's knickers,
isn't it?
Sergei's grandma's knickers.
It's getting good reviews, though. I mean, it's getting some excellent reviews. I just think they've pitched it a little bit high in price. It's if you've got a choice between the Pixel and the iPhone, I think people are going to go for the iPhone. I think they pitched it £100 less. Might have been a no-brainer.
You've got people guessing.
Well, I think there's obviously Android fans and there's iPhone fans, so you've got two camps on you. So there's definitely people who'll buy it.
But do you think with the Samsung thing that Android has a bad name?
Nah. I don't. No. Assume, no.
No.
I don't think your general consumer links the two.
I think Android is not an issue to 99% of Android owners.
No.
Carrie, have you got a phone that runs Android? Or is it still running Symbian?
It's, yeah. No, it's a flip phone. I don't have these problems. I don't have battery problems. I don't have explosions. I don't have government tracking me. None of that.
You still got a Razer V3. So you gave up on the tablet thing. You still got a Razer V3.
This is a Samsung Factor. No. And you guys will be coming back to them. You just wait. I'm just ahead of the curve.
I've got an opinion on this.
You're calling Gray. Use the mic. There's a good chat.
I had Apple phones as soon as they came out.
Yeah.
I bought an iPhone. Loved it. It was always great. It always did what it was meant to do. But you always felt as though your friends who had other phones was slightly behind the curve. Then it caught up and it surpassed it. Then it kind of went behind the curve and surpassed it. And you've been taking the piss out of me tonight because I had two phones.
Yes.
I have two telephones. 2 years ago, I always had two phones, one for work, one for personal use. Yeah. One in my personal joke, which I think is hilarious. I've got one for work and one for bitches and drugs. That's because I'm a trainee vet. I thought it's a great joke. Sorry, I'm going off the...
Moving on.
Moving on. And then I had a Galaxy Note, and I always had the iPhone as my personal phone. And then a friend of mine said, why don't you get one of those phones that's got two SIM cards? What a great idea. Okay. Let's go for that. So I hunted around. You can't buy flagship phones in this country with two SIMs.
You can only get a door.
You bought it from Japan, got a Sony top of the range Z5.
And it don't work.
Oh, God's sake.
And that's running Android.
How the hell I didn't like poke people in the eye and just, it was awful.
Right, so you've gone back to iPhone.
I got rid of it. It broke. I got it repaired, sold it straight away. I went straight to the Apple shop. Give me two of those 5SEs. And that's what I have now.
Okay, so in the context of this story, what was your point?
Well, I'm saying about, I can't remember.
What was it? I'd be more concerned with knowing which number he gave you, the work phone number,
or
the bitches and drugs number.
Oh, my God. Sorry, no, I've got it back. Android is just, it's okay, it's clever, it's good, but
it's
just, it's not right. It's just, there's something, I think it's too...
So you're slagging off Android?
No, I'm not. No, I'm slagging off...
Right. Alice has put his leg up. He's not sure what you're talking about either. He's getting ready. He's thinking of a Horlicks already.
Hey, it was your fault I started drinking earlier this evening.
Yeah, Graham's come to visit us. He's one of the listeners normally, and he's had alcohol. Yeah. So there we go.
Quite a bit.
Thanks for that, mate.
No, but the point is that
cheers, spoke.
Android is just because it's. I think it's too many manufacturers trying to make it in a different way. It just. It's good, but it just there's something about it that just makes you want to go, oh, for God's sake, there's always something about it that really annoys you. And then I got the iPhone back, and then I sat in the corner, and it was like an old school friend turned up, and I was giggling, just playing with the screen.
Okay.
And it was just cool. Wonderful.
Batwinch says she's got two phones.
Yep, so have I.
Oh, what?
God, I got a joke there.
See, we're the ones at the norm there. And Magic said, I see that Graham fits right in with this show then.
Oh dear, that didn't really go off too
well. No, it didn't.
Is Graham Grandpa Simpson? is the Pixel going to be a hit or a miss then, chaps? Are we talking about the same? You've had your chance. Right, is the Pixel going to be a hit or a miss? I mean, but based on the fact, you know, the Nexus brand, I would have said, was a relative success, definitely for Google. Is this one going to follow in its steps, or is it tanking?
I think it'll sell.
I think it'll sell. I just think the price needs to come down a bit.
Yeah.
I think as soon as they realise that, I think it'll sell.
Well, it will come down. Yeah. Google phones tend to come down after launch day. They're expensive, and in a month, 2 months' time, 2-3 months' time, they'll be down to about, well, at least by £100.
Might be a slow burner.
Yeah.
Well, I get to see one tomorrow because someone at work's got one delivered today, so I'm going to make my mind up tomorrow. But
and it wasn't
I'm quite
registered.
Torn because I think it's really quite nice.
Well, you can have a play with it, so you can write a review for us, can't you?
I will do.
Calls.
I'll nick it off him.
Nick it off him. All right, yeah. Surf for some stuff on the net and see where we go. What's your view, Righty? Hit or miss?
I think it'll be fair and middling. I don't think people know what the Google phone is. When you say the Google phone, I don't think they understand that Google make phones. Like you say, you were right about what you said earlier about, you know, like Samsung people not differentiating between it being an Android thing. So people might find out, and they go to the shops, go, oh, this is an Android phone. And they go, oh, maybe the Google phone runs Samsung OS. You know, I don't think there's enough knowledge out there to really people to make up their minds.
No, I disagree.
And the thing with the the Note 7 is a lot of people who took their phones back went and got an iPhone. And I think Apple have got away with not really redesigning the look of the phone. The internals are all done, but this is a win-win for Apple all over the place.
Yeah, they could have lost market share a little bit here, and they definitely haven't. So yeah,
no.
Good point. Carrie, you've thrown a story in here. You're saying that Samsung has released its first ever quantum dot curved gaming monitor.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in your take on this with your enthusiasm with photography. The CFG 70, I'm just going to read this as it is at PCGamer.com, the source of the article, that Samsung unveiled this back in August. It finally has officially launched. And so quantum dot technology is basically used to increase brightness, gain better color accuracy, and achieve higher color saturation in displays. It uses tiny, like a few nanometers tiny, particles, which filter light from LEDs into primary colors for backlit LCDs, creating a larger range of colors. Samsung and several other manufacturers have started using them in TVs, but the CGF70, which is both a 24-inch and they have a 27-inch version, will be the first gaming monitor to use the tech. And this means Samsung's newest monitor has color access across a 125% sRGB spectrum, and it has a 3,000-to-1 contrast ratio, 144 hertz refresh rate down to 60 hertz minimum, and uses AMD FreeSync technology to minimize screen tearing input lag by syncing the screen refresh rate with the computer's video card. And Samsung claims this is the industry's first curved monitor with a 1 millisecond response time, thanks to something they call motion blur reduction technology.
That's quite impressive. Disappointing resolution, it says here, 1920 by 1080. And I've got to say,
yes,
all the stuff that you're talking about there with the improvement of the sharpness of the light, if you're at fairly low res, that's kind of pointless. And the monitor's up against the face, so you'll start to notice pixelation at 1920 by 1080. Well,
it says it's got something called an eye saver mode and flicker-free technology to eliminate the pesky blue light that throws your body clock out of line when you're on your PC at night. So, I don't know. You know, I hear a lot about this kind of technology. I don't know if it works or not, but it's got the word quantum in it, so, you know.
So you've picked this story because it's got the word quantum in it.
It's got to be good.
And just a quick tip for everyone: if you're using a flip chart, don't write the word "flicker" in block capitals. You're saying 3,000 to 1 contrast ratio, but if you go to a lot of TVs, they talk about 30,000 to 1 contrast ratios. Mm. And the big thing with your monitors, from my viewpoint, is I want to see black blacks and white whites. I want to see the good contrast. What's the word I'm looking for? It's not a spectrum, but you know what I mean. The contrast spectrum of absolute black to absolute white, and the graduations within that. And to a certain degree, I like the idea of retina display, but I'm not as bothered about that as I am having true colours on the screen and the ability for it to calibrate well. The information that you've just described might suggest that it would calibrate highly accurately, but I mean, I've got my two monitors are calibrated and they never seem to match, which pisses me off immensely. I just trust the one on the left because I know that that was the way it was before it started, and it's the more expensive of the two of them. But there is
no manufacturer-defined standard with regards to contrast ratio. So what one manufacturer determines is 3,000 to 1, another manufacturer may say is infinity to 1. They may determine the darkest dark as being in a cave 4,000 feet under the ground, and another manufacturer may determine the darkest dark is in the closet in the lab. There is no industry-specified standard as to measuring contrast ratio. So Samsung may, I don't know, but may be being very generous here when they say 3,000 to 1 with regards to, not generous, but rather reserved, with regards to what you may feel it is. And the other thing that tickles me is I've been seeing this on monitors a lot. This monitor advertises 178 degree angle so that you can stand it at up to 178 degrees of an angle from the monitor and still be able to see the screen.
That's good.
And this confuses me, right? Because of a circle, follow me on the logic. If a circle is 360 degrees, that means if you're at one end of the circle, to be at the opposite end of the circle, you'd be at half the point, right? Which would be 180 degrees, which means if you're staring at a monitor at 180 degree angle, you're staring at the back of the monitor. Unless I'm misunderstanding something, so 2 degrees away from staring at the back of the monitor, they're saying you can still see the screen?
35 degrees each
way. No, it's... Okay, so you're describing the center position as being 0, and it's not. The center position is going to be 90.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that's right.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that.
That's okay. It's very confusing for me. I'm glad I helped.
That confused me then.
Well, that's not hard.
Can I ask a question?
Go on then.
Have you still got curved monitors, Ewan?
I have got curved monitors, and one of the reasons that you see them at 178 degrees is because of the fact that you actually a bit of it sticks less than because it's curved. Yeah. But also, you're not going to read anything at 178 degrees. You're just going to see some light coming off it. So,
but what's the benefit of having a curved? What's the benefit of having a curved monitor?
You do cut down a little bit on direct reflection. Most definitely. Right. And it's, so my screens are a matte finish because I hate glossy finishes. I cannot stand gloss on monitors. I want a flat matte finish on it, absolutely. But if you've got a strong source of light behind you or a strong source of reflection, so if the sun comes up over there sometimes, the wall gets really illuminated here, you can end up with a bit when the studio lights on and that kind of stuff, I get reflection off my glasses or something. But I get zero reflection on these. They're absolutely brilliant. And it's just that they're not super curved. It's not like it's following the line of the sweep of my eye. It's just it's curved enough that there's no direct reflections back off it that easily. So
it's funny, 30 years ago, they were all curved.
Yeah, exactly. The other way, though. So it amplified the light. How much are these going to cost?
That's a great observation.
Yeah, yeah. How much are these going to cost then, Carrie?
Price isn't out yet, but probably a lot.
And then based on the fact that now Alistair said something about 30 years ago, I'd have thought that actually that would appeal to you far more, and you're thinking, I'm not buying these. I'm going to go try and find some CRTs.
But they're concave, though.
They get too heavy when they're that big.
I want to buy a compact 21-inch CRT, which is the reason that desks had a belly cut in them, because they had to get the tube all the way to the back of the desk in the corner.
Orange plasma screen.
That's right, and you still had to perch on the front edge of the desk, and you couldn't rest your wrists or anything because this thing was so frigging deep. I had a 21-inch monitor.
I had a bigger one.
It was fantastic. I absolutely adored it, and the clarity of it was beautiful. But I couldn't sit in front of it because it came all the way out to where the curve of the desk was.
Yeah, I remember those compacts. When people typed on it, it made a noise like that Disney cartoon with all the skeletons in.
Yes. Yeah, Dell, 1990, you want a 1991 Dell keyboard or 1993 Dell keyboard, something like that. Those were
When you were 17, yeah.
Yeah, when you the keys never actually sat on it, and you could actually press the key and wobble it from side to side. They were that loose on the thing, and when you hit them, they were just.
Yeah. It's like one of those games with marbles, and you could just kind of.
It was. It sounded like a bag of marbles. That's exactly it. I don't think we're going to get a lot of discussion out of that. So you basically wanted us as your acid test for buying a new monitor, Kerry.
No, I'm hearing about the big monitor manufacturers, Samsung and LG, and we're just talking with folks at LG, and they've got these chevron shaped pixels, which they claim give them a superior viewing angle, and now I hear this quantum technology, which I've never heard of before in a monitor.
So chevron shaped.
Yeah, chevron shaped. Pixels on the LG gaming monitors.
They make you want to look to one side.
No, it means your mouse should never be closer to the edge than two chevrons apart.
I've just imagined someone looking at this going,
It does.
Well, here's the problem with the monitor manufacturers. They make a lot of stuff up. This is the bottom line. You know, I am thoroughly confused how a monitor that runs at 144 hertz, which means it can redraw the screen 144 times per second, has a relationship to how many frames per second you're getting out of your game. So if your game is getting, usually it's a fluctuating number, but gamers are always talking about, I want to get 100 frames per second, but you're going to display 100 frames per second on 144 frames per second, if you will, monitor. When it's going to be free synced up or G synced, that's a different thing altogether. It'll be G synced or free synced in order to prevent screen tearing so that they synchronize. But when they synchronize, does that mean the monitor refresh rate adjusts? The whole thing seems very convoluted to me. It's not clear.
No, but it always did. So if you go back to your old Windows games, when you were PC console-y type games, Rogue Spear or something like that, You put up the hertz rating as far as you could, but then your monitor just displayed nothing because it couldn't go that high.
Right.
So that's all it is that the monitor has the capacity, but the game dictates the actuality. So if the game goes to 100 hertz, then your monitor's if your monitor's 75 hertz, it won't work. It won't show anything.
But what happens the other way around?
The monitor comes down to 100.
So it levels up. I guess what I'm trying to figure out is if anybody would ever see 144 hertz out of a 144 hertz monitor, being able to display 144 frames per second synchronized at 144 frames per second with a monitor at 144 hertz. Ideally, that would be your ideal scenario, wouldn't it?
If you can match them, yes. But it's whether you can match them or not.
See, this whole thing is very confusing.
So no, I'm clear.
I am just finding out
if it's a flip monitor.
A flip monitor.
Yeah. Go with your phone.
Yeah, those are. that's one hertz. One hertz.
Yeah, one flip, one out.
Would hurt. One hertz. It.
One hertz. That's right. It wouldn't be plural, would it?
I can't even remember who it was. Was it Sharp who came out with a quad system? They said, so most monitors only show red, blue and green, but ours shows red, blue, green and yellow. I'm like, no, you haven't made a pixel that shows yellow, mate. You've just enhanced the amount of yellow that the red, green and blue show. And they got George Takei to advertise it. And I'm like, I'm surprised. He has a bit of nous. I'm surprised he was taken in.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't make TVs anymore. That's gone.
I think Sharp even gone, maybe.
Well, I know that the Aquas line, I was at the local electronics store, and the TV area was cleaned out. And I said, did you have a big sale? And they said, no, four of the manufacturers stopped making TVs. And he listed off Sharp and Panasonic and like two others. And I was like, wow. I was really surprised.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I was going to say good story, but...
Sorry, they're not all winners, but I was interested in it, and I'm always interested to see what the monitor manufacturers, marketing companies come up with next and whether or not there's any truth to it, and I thought you as a photographer would go, oh, Kerry, that's a little bollocks, or I don't know, something. that you would say.
Well, no, because you said that. I said about the contrast ratio, and you told me I was talking bollocks, so...
Well, yeah, with contrast ratios, yes. But with regards to color accuracy or pixel size, if that would be something, although it's designed here for gamers, it sounds to me like a photographer is really important for color accuracy and image quality, obviously, that would be appealing if it were, in fact, true.
The best thing you got out of that whole story, Carrie, was that there's a group of British blokes here going, a Yank that can use the term bollocks correctly, kudos.
Nice.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You're
supposed to put the word shitey in front of it, but yeah, okay.
I'm working on it.
Camps, you've put a story in about heart attacks or something.
Yeah.
Thanks for lifting the mood, dude.
Yeah.
So mine's a tech does something nice story this week. So the story that I brought along, so there's an app out there called Pulse Point, developed by a former fireman. So scenario here is 60-year-old Stephen DeMount in a bus stop in Seattle collapses with a heart attack. Some kind person close by calls 911, and what 911 do is they have an interaction with Pulse Point, an application, which fires off a message, and anybody who's registered for Pulse Point in the area to where the incident happened basically gets an alert to say, can you go and help this guy? So what's happened here is this 60-year-old guy, he's collapsed. That's exactly what's happened. And within seconds, there are multiple first aiders, including somebody who was a CPR-trained nurse on their way to work in the local vicinity and was able to respond within seconds and ultimately saved this guy's life. And it just made me think, this, you know, that everyone's got, there's so many people...
I sense a butt coming on.
No. It just made me think that so many people out there are either first aid trained and potentially would be happy to help in a scenario, but may not necessarily know that something just around the corner is happening so they can get out there to help. Most big organisations have trained first aiders on site or got defibs in their buildings, and this app's a real helpful tool to get medical attention to somebody, hopefully, very, very quickly if emergency services can't get there for any reason. And I just think, one, it's a nice story, and two, there should be more things out there like this. Don't know how much conversation's in this story, so we'll wait and see where this goes.
How did it work then? Did it,
The alert comes from 911. So, for instance, I may be a trained first aider. I register with this Pulse Point app that's in 28 states and 2,000 US cities at the moment. So I registered to say I'm a trained first aider, and I essentially have the app on my smartphone. When the call comes into 911, they hit the button and I get an alert. If I'm in the area, I can go along and help.
Okay.
So quieter than I expected.
That's it.
Cheers.
Thanks very much.
Well, you could use your Apple Music. You could playing alive while you're pumping the heart.
Yes, because that's supposed to be the tempo, isn't it?
Mm. It is, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So if your phone catches fire, can you call the fire brigade as well?
Auto alert.
If it's a Samsung, that's not. Did you see as well? You know that GTA have got this the upgrade where you can use the Samsung Galaxy Note as a bomb.
Yeah, they try to take it down.
Yeah, they're fishing a takedown notice, and that's like you've already screwed up. Don't make it worse.
No.
Get a bit more. Yeah, no. Is this tracking your location though, unwittingly as well? Is there a privacy issue with this thing?
I'm assuming you're probably going to have to register some sort of terms and conditions to say that your location is going to be tracked. I'm sure it's going to have to do that.
Yeah, but I'm sure the bloke who didn't die is quite happy and doesn't want to register a complaint about his location being tracked, but.
You could do it by yourself.
I suppose it's what security is wrapped around that, like every other app that monitors you. Every weather app going tracks your location in the background, doesn't it? Dark Sky does it, so it can give you alerts depending on where you are. So plenty of apps out there do it. It's how the security of that works.
But if I'm looking at the right app, it does do fire as well.
Mm.
So, yeah, you've got vegetation fire, medical emergency, yeah. Public service, alarm, traffic collision.
How does it differentiate, though?
Is it... I don't know. I've just got a screen. You probably can't see it there, but it's got like all the sorts of emergencies you get on the app. But I don't know how you know, because it says traffic collision and it tells you where and it gives the coordinates. But it does. I guess if you tap on it, it gives you more details about what sort of medical emergencies your help is needed. It could be quite helpful. Unfortunately, over here we're all miserable sods, aren't we? We don't help anyone, so it wouldn't work over here.
No.
Talk about yourself.
But then not a lot works over here.
There are a lot of apps, though. I've got an app on my phone called Real Rider, and if I fall off my bike,
really?
Well, if I fall off my bike, it knows when the bike's on its side, and it rings. If you don't get up in a certain length of time, it rings for help and gives you a location.
Cool.
And my phone and my car does it. Have you ever
tested it?
No.
Good luck. Bronwyn says, I can't believe that Chief O'Brien yelled bollocks on Deep Space Nine and they didn't bleep it out. There you go.
It's not swearing though, is it?
And Magic Man wants to know, can you get the Trumpton Fire Brigade on it?
We'll check on that one. I'll come back to you.
Muller, talk us through your story, mate. Ali, if you've got a story, then do shove it in the chat room.
Okay. Well, mine is a story about Facebook using a controversial surveillance tool to catch a burglar or catch somebody doing something naughty in their offices.
So what happened?
Well, apparently they used this. Somebody was snuck into the boss's office, Zuckerberg's office, and was taking photographs or something. And they used the... obviously, the person put it onto the internet, and they used this geo... what's it called?
Geofedia.
To find the offender. Apparently, a lot of the social media sites are all feeding data to Geofedia, and it's being used by governments, police forces, security services, and all host of people to monitor you. So, and that's after Facebook said that allegedly they blocked Geofedia getting data from their... from their particular API, and also one or two others have allegedly said they blocked it, like Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. But
well, they have. Jeff talked about Geofedia last week, didn't he? And yes, they blocked it, but only very recently. Do we know when this is? Do we know exactly when this happened?
Doesn't really say in the story. I mean, the story dates back to October the 19th, so yesterday. It's fairly recent.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
But it was last week. It was revealed last week that police had used social media monitoring programs to track protesters. But it was... it doesn't say when the offence took place with this thing. But, I mean, if it was an... could they enable it just on... So if it was an employee's phone, and the employee's phone could be enabled with it, even though the rest of ours aren't?
I've looked at the Wikipedia page for Geofedia, and I don't think so. I think it takes all the data from social media and sort of collates it into sort of some sort of database. So I don't think they could. But I'm thinking that this has got to be unlawful in Europe. This is Ripper. Sorry to bring Ripper up.
Yeah, okay.
But I think this is horrendous, especially people... you know, don't know it's happening.
So hang on, just Muller, for a second, separate for us the difference between a program that is agreeing to your location data and Geofedia then, because surely they'd be signing, you would sign an agreement that you gave the rights to your location being...
But not to Geofedia, did you? Because Geofedia is just taking all the data from different social media sites.
It's an independent... But you agree with those... social media sites.
Yeah, but not for them to share it, surely. But they're sharing it with a private company somehow, and they're sharing it with law enforcement agencies.
Oh, okay, tell me I'm wrong, but I got the impression that reading this story that the that this was Facebook using the information. So they've used his location based on presumably Facebook data from his Facebook app.
No, they used Geofedia.
Which used Geofedia.
Yeah. But they've used Geofedia to find it.
Yeah, but that's what I said about whether Facebook carried on using Geofedia on its own employees' phones. If it's corporate phone, I'm just thinking that was all.
I don't think it's data on the phone, is it? It's their data on their server.
Okay.
But somebody'd have to tell me that, so I don't know. I'm just going.
Yeah, so on Geophedia's site, what it says is Geophedia's location-based analytics platform enables organizations to predict, analyze, and act based on real-time social media conversations. So that what I'm taking from that is that Facebook tracks obviously where you are because of either where you've posted, addresses, depends how you set your account up. That all then sits within Facebook. But at some point in the past, Facebook have been selling their data, or their API has allowed access to the data that Geophedia has then used to pass on to other parties. Whereas in this case, Geophedia looks to be the platform that's been used to identify the location of the people that, according to this article, got themselves into Zuckerberg's office.
Yeah,
right.
You know, I'm reading it.
Yeah, but I'm just a bit concerned. I mean, we know our governments are spying on us, but private companies are spying on us now.
I'm just surprised that the hackers haven't stepped up to just toy with this. Just like when Microsoft released that automated tweet bot thing and they turned it into a racist in 24 hours. Or when people play Sim Life and they try and make their character go insane and kill a bunch of people. Or there's a whole hacking community that would love to get their hands and say, you know what? Don't disable the API. Leave it there because we want to just mislead the government. And we'll have like a bunch of police getting prepared in an area where there's just a big rural area where nobody exists just because it's funny to use the technology against them.
That would be hilarious.
But the thing is,
well, that's what I'm expecting the hacking community to do. But this response of just cutting off access to the API now limits the ability to exploit that now that they've exposed it.
The thing is, the police wouldn't just depend on this API. They would use other sources as well.
But the hackers know that too. That's the brilliance of it. Once the information's exposed, then the hackers can exploit it. And I mean hacking for the, you know, in the truest sense of hacking, which is just toying with the technology, not intending to cause harm, but to make a point. And it's a shame to me that that point won't be able to get made now unless these APIs get turned back on.
Unless they asked it on.
It's just, you know, once these things only work when they're kept secret. Once the hackers figure it out, then it gets exploited and toyed with. And I just think that the potential for that would have been awesome.
That's not, everyone's quiet.
It's interesting how they've put that. No, because if you talk about location data for trends and that kind of stuff, it's interesting that they've clearly pinpointed this to one person, though.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
That's the identifiable individual part is the bit that's worrying. Sorry, Alistair, are you going to say something?
No, I was. Yeah, I think it's all been said.
Okay.
I think actually it dates back to 22nd of August 2015, if you look at them.
That's way before the date when it was...
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a non-story then, really.
Thank you.
We're doing well tonight.
I don't feel so bad.
Alistair, have you got a story that can save us?
No, probably not. Since I was off last week, I'm always a week behind. I thought the other Google News was the thing that got me, about Google News and how... they've come up with this amazing idea that facts should be checked.
Wow. That's
Going
to break.
I know it's kind of a bit close to my heart and my career, but I am kind of a bit pig sick of technology people coming in saying to the rest of us, no, you don't understand how media works. We do. No, you don't. You just make all the same mistakes that everyone else made 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And then you try and correct it in all the same ways. I just love the things that are coming through that, I mean, for a start, Google News isn't a news service. It's just a RSS feed at the end of the day of news written by other people.
But what you're saying is that they don't just blindly repost anything that gets fed their way.
Well, they might say that, but that's exactly what they do.
They are doing it, right, okay.
Yeah. But the idea was that there would be a link that would take us to a fact-checking site who someone else runs. So Google aren't doing that either. They're just running a feed to someone else's fact checker. And all these fact checking sites do the same thing. They just get their information from Wikipedia.
Or Snopes.
And they cross... the Snopes is probably the only one that's independent anymore. The rest are just saying, it must be true because I read it on this completely different site, which is another site that got it from Wikipedia. But it's the way it's been reported. I found it very funny. I'm not a Google News reader, but when the BBC reported it, they actually wrote, it's just funny that this should be written even by in the BBC News, that fact-checking is something that has become increasingly popular in the past few years.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, which is, you know, it's great. So I thought, well, I'll just check through Google News. I've been going through it. I can't find any fact-checking links at all. But I was just amazed that these are not the kind of stories I normally read. I might be a bit of a snob, but I was just, you know, Harry Redknapp runs over his own wife outside his house. You
know. Yeah.
You know, needs must, but hey, you know. You know, is that true?
There might not be, but
there's no link to check a fact, and it's not kind of thing, all right, I'll go to Snopes to find out how many of Harry Redknapp's wives he chooses to run over outside his own house.
He's got more than one.
I don't know where they're going with this, if it was just one of those press releases and news announcements about nothing in particular, because nothing has happened on Google News and no one's reading it anymore.
Yeah, I'm always sort of amused when the news is basically about the news. That's the news is making their own news. And I was a PC journalist and I'm not anymore. And it's basically because everybody wants to be first. The Drudge Report wouldn't exist if not for breaking one story that other news places had, but were holding on to. And now it's a race to publish the story first, fact check it later. The one who publishes it first gets the clicks.
Do you remember the Howard Stern thing?
Which one?
So Howard Stern challenged people to ring in and disrupt live news coverage.
Oh, Baba Booey, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because there was a lot of high profile cases where there was quite serious events taking place, like a murder or a chase. I don't know if they did it for the who's the footballer? OJ.
OJ Simpson.
I didn't know if they did it for that, but basically they'd be sitting there and there'd be people on their phones crying and blubbing and saying that they've witnessed this thing, and then they'd just go, Howard Stern, Howard Stern, Howard Stern, and they'd completely blown them out of the water because the news agencies just didn't give a stuff. We got someone on the phone who's there, put them on air, regardless, you know, and a few astute questions from a decent researcher prior to it would have got some basic facts about where you stood exactly, what can you see from where you are, and they would have blown those out of the water. But it was just there was no attempt whatsoever to even remotely make it a sense check on it, let alone a fact check.
Yeah, this is frustrating for me again, because over the years you'll see the PC's dying. They keep publishing the same story, and as a PC technician, I get a lot of people asking me, is this true? Should I go into this field if they say it's dying? And it's frustrating to me because they look at market sales of the quarters of the year, and they see that they're declining, but they look at the cars, automobiles. It does the same thing. From 2010 to 2014, auto sales declined. Then 2015 was the best year they'd had in 8 years. And PCs work no differently. And I always tell people, look, whoever wrote that article, you ask them what tablet or cell phone they wrote that article on. That's what I want to know. And so not only is there a lack of fact checking, but there's a lack of understanding what people are writing, or I'm really naive and they know exactly what they're writing and they're writing it just to create the click.
Link there, yeah. Righty, what were you going to say?
Well, you see that with a lot of you know, news websites and news channels where you see a headline and it'll go, here's a headline with a picture, which probably isn't related, and then all it says is more to follow. And then you look at their social media profiles and they're promoting the hell on Facebook and Twitter, everything of this one post saying more to follow. And there's nothing there. And if you go on to watch the TV channels, they sit there, they've got nothing to say, but they're bringing someone who's probably an expert. They don't know what they're talking about, but they want to get you in the mindset that you read it there first. So when you want to find out more about it, you'll go back to them. It's just a kind of, it's almost a honeypot kind of thing to just get you to go back to their sites.
Yeah, definitely. You look at the amount of memes that there are out on Twitter now, and there is a culture developing of getting what you want out there as a political message one way or another, and someone going, you know what, that's not actually the picture of the MP's debate on expenses, and then someone going, no one will notice. and lo and behold, they do.
What I like in the world of fact-checking, since apparently it's a brand new thing, and it's going to be all the rage quite soon, was harking back to good old Wikipedia. I have to say, I love it when someone famous dies. When someone famous dies, you have to go to Wikipedia. There are some real gems in there. People register just waiting for famous people to pop their clogs. So they can just sneak in just maybe half a sentence of shitey bollocks. I can't remember because...
There you go, Kerry.
I'm making a note.
Is that if it's a bit unexpected, at least one newspaper is going to go, quick, write an obituary. Mm. And someone goes, oh, what am I going to do? So we'll get this, you know, 19-year-old intern at a newspaper. We'll go to Wikipedia and do a bit of copy-paste. and that bit of nonsense they've typed in will get into the Times. I don't know if you remember a British comedian called Norman Wisdom.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I can't remember which national newspaper it was that lifted this straight from Wikipedia. But when Norman Wisdom died, some wag went online and entered into the Wikipedia page for Norman Wisdom that he'd been... hello? Yeah.
Yes,
that he'd been considered for the British space program as a possible astronaut. Which was a nice idea, you know. You might have made a good jockey, but, you know, I'm not sure about the astronaut. But, you know, it went in, it got removed from Wikipedia, but in the meantime it got into the national press as part of his official obituary.
You could have believed that if Mr. Grimsdale was at Mission Control.
Yeah. Could you repeat over?
There a Norman Wisdom film, actually, though, where there was a space shot or something like that, perhaps?
No.
And Mr. Grimsdale out there.
But still.
Sadly, no. That would have been nice. My story. Nintendo releases the Switch.
Ooh.
I got to say, boys. We spoke on the Mac show last week, and we were talking about the fact that Mario's finally coming to iOS, and it really looked like Nintendo had grasped the idea that the future did not lay in card switching consoles, and then lo and behold, this morning while I'm sitting having a crap,
nice.
I stumble across this story and think, oh my god. And then whoever's making the decisions at Nintendo, they've got to go and commit seppuku, because it is just, I cannot believe. I was disbelief. I thought, have I picked a story up here from 2.5 years ago or 4 years ago where Nintendo was making stupid decisions? But they have a cartridge-based game that sits on your desktop, sits in a holder, right, and links to your TV, and then has a controller that you take with it that slides on the outside that you could take it into.
To learn.
And oh my life!
That's cool.
I don't know how many years on this show we've been talking that Nintendo should just leave hardware alone, just use the mobile platforms, license their games, put their games on there. That is their business income. That is what they need to focus on going forward. And I really thought that with Mario coming, I thought they'd got it.
But
it's going to be a nightmare. You watch the video for it, and like the bloke sitting at home playing Zelda, and then his dog annoys him or something. He's got to meet some girl down the airport, and he goes and takes the heart of the console out. It's obviously the processing power and the graphics power in the screen that he takes with him.
I have the exact picture there of him lifting the console or the pad from the holder.
So you're basically taking the heart of the console, shoving it in your bag, that's going to get tossed around and all those sort of things, and broken, and, you know, all the things that you see people doing in the advert are things people do on their mobile phones. And for God's sake, the bloke who's sitting next to you on the plane playing that little game with the two little ones, you're going to want to throttle him.
Oh, mate. No, I've got this wrong. I thought it was two things that you clip on the side of your mobile phone.
You do? No. So, right. So for those that are,
I'm kind of thinking, really confused, that's not too bad,
Graham. That's okay. That's good.
That was, so, thinking, you know, on the side of a large mobile phone.
The Switch is effectively a pad, a tablet.
That
you put into a dock, and that then powers your TV to play the game. Presumably through an HDMI link or something.
And then
when you
want to
go out, you pick the pad out, and you can carry on playing from where you exactly were in the game that you were playing. You can actually lift it out while it's still playing.
Not only that, look at the bloody size of it.
And then you slide on two controllers that become your mobile controllers rather than the handheld controller which you carry around the house.
I mean, perspective to me, that's like a 7-inch tablet.
Everybody's got a tablet. Yeah. Everybody's got a smartphone in the pocket. The amount of Apple TVs, Amazon TVs.
If you go back to the other picture, look at the thickness of it as well.
Yeah, and there's so many Chromecasts out there. Nintendo should be saving some of that R&D cost. Just licensing the game, you can play it straight from your iPad, your iPhone, your Android, and essentially just display it straight on your TV in your living room. You've got exactly the same functionality as what Nintendo is showing there, but without any of the cost at their end, and they can still sell the game for a very similar price to what they're putting into those cartridges.
Well, see, there's the one thing that really just... I mean, if you said to me, right, okay, Nintendo have come out with this cartridge thing, it's got 256 gigabytes of storage on it, you can buy them from an interactive store that's run by Nintendo, so you can get down Mario Kart, you can get down with Mario Galaxy, and you download it from your Wi-Fi into your phone, and then you can take it wherever you want with you. But no, you've got to pull out a cartridge and carry a bag full of cartridges around that you can lose and put a cartridge in when you've got cold hands in the middle of the street with a drain underneath you. And
exactly.
You've got to get past the cartridge. You know, the cartridge is not secure. Yeah. The cartridge is not copyright control. It's an app store with a unique download. I was pulling my hair out this morning after I finished wiping my bum.
Nice.
Was there a hand wash in between?
Sorry, is it going to be proprietary cartridges as well? It's not like SD cartridges.
Yeah, you buy cartridges. Whether the old DS cartridge will work in it or not, which it probably will actually.
Yeah, but it looks like the size of the thumbnail, like an SD card.
Yeah, right? It is. It's the size
of an
SD card.
Just trying to get perspective on the size of it.
Yeah, it's an SD card that you plug into it and you have to have one SD card.
Yeah, but it's not
going to
be
game.
An SD card, is it?
No, it's not an SD card. It's
going to be proprietary to what they say.
It's going to be a Nintendo card that's got each and every game on it, one at a time.
Yeah. That'll be about 15 to 20 quid.
Yeah, but how big are these cards? I mean,
they're about the size of an SD card. Move on.
No. Capacity-wise.
There won't be a capacity.
Yeah, but they're saying they're going to put these simplistic games on them.
No, but they're not. There'll be one card per game. Guys, it's a cartridge game.
Yeah, but we know that a card of that size will hold a lot more.
No, you can get a terabyte on it, but they won't.
Exactly.
It'll be a 4 gig card, perhaps, from 5 years ago, with just a game on it. But you won't know how big the card is because you'll never be able to write to it because it's just a sealed cartridge game.
Exactly what I'm saying. Am I making sense now?
No.
Righty boys just put a link in the comment in the chat that says tonight's Alcoholics Anonymous meeting is obviously going well.
Come on, I think this all making perfect sense.
Well, that's only you though.
What happens if they corrupt?
Presumably, you've got to get another. Or you've got to take the card back and go, it's corrupted, and they go, yeah, you tried to write something else on there, didn't you? I don't know. But why cartridges? Why? Get over it, for Christ's sake. If you'd have just done an app store that was a Nintendo app store where you could download to this device willy-nilly, fill it up with all your games that you want, and then games off, games on when you went away, I'd have been on your side. But.
Hang on, Graham.
Let Righty talk, because you've had a go. Go on, Righty.
Well, when I was into Pokemon Go for a bit, it was a bit of fun. That was good for Nintendo. Maybe that funded the R&D loss that they had on this. And the announcement of Mario on iOS, I thought, they've got it. They finally got it. You know, they know that the same way Sega's done really well on mobile platforms with their games, you know, they've got Sonic and all those on the Apple TV. It's great. But I thought, if Mario's coming, all the other great games are going to come. And I think that Mario come to iOS is just to go, we are still here, and now here's this bit of shit that we're going to put out, which you're going to lose those two controllers. You're going to snap the kickstand off that thing, and you're going to smash the screen in your bag. My daughter, when I showed her the video, she goes, that looks so cool. But the practicality of it, it's a nightmare. I don't know why they go for the gimmick on things, and they've missed the life cycle of the console anyway, because the Xbox One and the PS4 are now in like a second generation, and they're romping ahead. I don't think anyone's going to do this. It's not a big PSP.
No one's buying this.
No.
That's expensive. It'll take too far. Am I interrupting someone's TV watching?
Yeah, who's watching the telly?
No, who's buying this? Definitely no from me.
Never.
You see,
Graham will buy it when he can work out what it
is. Stop it. I missed last week's episode, but you yourself, Ewan, made a comment 2 weeks ago, two episodes ago, that somebody was on about getting a movie or something on DVD.
Oh, on DVD and Blu-ray, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you said, who's buying that?
Who the hell's buying those, yeah?
So nobody's buying cartridges anymore. Nobody's buying physical media anymore, are they?
That's what we're saying, mate, yeah.
Yeah.
Mate.
That was about 4 hours ago.
If you're a listener and you want to come here and have a curry and get pissed and join in the shows, feel free. Feel free. It's great, mate. It's open house here on a Thursday night. Just try and come when the rest of us are getting shit-faced, will you? Rather than the rest of us all being sober. Muller's driving and I've got a drug and alcohol test maybe on Saturday. So.
I just missed time.
Wrong week, mate.
You want the Christmas show?
Thank you, Graham, for being the light relief. This show and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're absolutely awesome. They've looked after us for 9 years. They're going to look after us for another 7. They pick up all the bandwidth. They give us all the space that we use for hosting the shows and all the server space and that kind of stuff, and all the stuff that helps us do the live show and feed it out to you guys. Thanks for looking after them. Go to britishjetnetwork.com/sponsors and click on the UK2 link, and you can just sign in if you really want to. That's sense. It. You know, hang on, fellas, we're doing the adverts. Shut up.
Sorry,
man. It's all right. You can go to just sign in, and then they'll know that we sent you. You're one of our customers and returning. Or you can get the offer codes, and you can get massive amounts off your basket. 20% off domain names, that kind of stuff. And it doesn't matter if you're a new listener or a new customer or a returning person who's just renewing service. You'll still get all those discounts on the offers that they've got. And also thanks to Hoya. They gave us one of the Mac Minis in the Skype wall. And that's the wrong picture. Why is that showing that then? I've no idea why that's showing that. Oh, okay. It's not showing the pictures that Hoya gave me. Never mind. they've got a new system that's called Unica, which is basically, and we'll do a little video on this when it comes, but just after Christmas, there'll be a scanner, 3D scanner at the headquarters at Wrexham, and we'll go up and film it. But it takes a 3D scan of your face, and then it works out where the lenses of your glasses should sit in relation to your face. And you're sitting thinking, well, okay, that's great, but what about the frames? Well, what it does is when it works out exactly where your lenses should be, what angle, what distance from your eyes, that kind of stuff from your prescription, then what it does is it sends out all the data to let you choose some frames, but those frames will then be printed uniquely for you so that those lenses will be sat in exactly the right position. So there was a comment from Horse in the chat room earlier on. He said, so it's like putting all the windows up and then building the house around it, and that's exactly it. You put the lenses in the perfect position for your vision, and then they will manufacture a 3D printed set of glasses that will be in exactly. So as soon as they come to you, you just put them on and they'll already be a perfect fit. There won't be any adjustments or anything like that. And they can adjust them if you've got a broken nose, or they'll change the nose piece, they'll change the frame, they'll change the angle of them, so that they hold those lenses in exactly the right position. And that's coming after Christmas. And prices should be no different from what you're currently paying for the Avantix, which are the ones that I've got on here. So keep watch this space, because we will be they'll be back showing us some printed lenses when they've got them. And the way that it prints is brilliant as well. It uses like a powder that scrapes across, and then a laser just energizes the particles of powder that it wants to keep, and then it sweeps some more across, and then it's on. It's an awesome process. Excellent. Right. Have you got a cool thingy, Mr. Dabs?
Yeah, I was sent this. You know, Suguru?
Oh. That
funny stuff. that you love get. I got sent this. The Rebel Tech Kit.
Oh, come on, tell us more, mate. I might be out of pocket here.
Okay, it's just a little sampler. I've already used half the packs already. But it comes with a little booklet that says Rebel Tech Kit. And it come. The booklet has, like, you know, little ideas for using the stuff. And it's another way of selling the stuff. So if you know what it is, you're using it already. Okay, let's face it. But the people who hadn't thought of anything beyond a cable tie. But what I really liked about this was the fact that it's 14 brilliant ways to fix, hack, and improve your gadgets.
It's a bit random, isn't it?
So no one thought of, you know, let's have a top 10 or a dozen.
Or 15 even.
It's 14. I'm trying to imagine the guy went up there and said, look, I've got this great idea. I've got 13 good ideas.
And the boss never sell.
Said, oh, you couldn't round it up to 14, could you?
Oh, come on.
So, I think there's some good stuff in here, including there was one they wanted to do for, hang on, let me find it. It was, fix your cables. and to fix your cables, you need a special kind of mould, which has to be 3D printed at your own expense. By the time you've kind of thought, right, Ishugu is great, this stuff, it's only a few quid. Oh, hang on, I've got to buy a 3D printer. Okay, I'll do that.
300.
Yeah. And, yeah, so a bit of tape would probably do the trick there. But, I've got cable ties all over the place now made of rubbery putty. So I've actually quite enjoyed playing with this.
Oh, Sugru's awesome.
And comes with a little tin. So that was what I got this week.
So do you showed a picture there in there that looked like someone was holding an Apple TV or something on the back of an iMac. So I didn't know it was that strong for sticky stuff.
That was one of the projects I've done. So I've got exactly this situation where I've got one of those little WD drives.
And right.
I can't stand the bugger keeps blinking at me all day. I've tried putting tape over the LED and it just keeps winking at me. And this thing was, you know, put a couple of things on the back, slightly bent and hooked, and it just hooks on the back. That's exactly what I've got at the moment. So that worked for me.
Brilliant. No, I love Sugru. I've got a packet of it here, or two packets of it, and I've used it to make mouldable, like where you've got a cable frayed on your power lead from your iMac or from your Thunderbolt display, and you just mould it on and it makes it safe again.
Yeah, I've also got these things, you know, where they kind of, the cables clip to the edge of my desk until I found that a shop down the road sells them for like 25p anyway, but there you go.
Brilliant. So can you buy this book then, or do they give it away free? Or?
Well, no, it's a pack. So it's the stuff comes in and packs in a tin with a booklet in a little kind of welcome pack. So it's a new way of selling it. Rebel Tech Kit. I think it's available now at the usual places.
That's awesome, mate. There's other people to come, but I think you're going to win Cool Thing of the Week there with that one. That's anything that's got an Amazon link associated with it, I'm a bit of a sucker for anyway. So, great one. Carrie, have you got a cool thing?
Well, yeah, actually, this is one I missed last time I was here, and I want to do it this time so I don't forget it. This is the coolest car USB charger ever.
You did it last time.
I didn't. We didn't. We did. After the show, I mentioned it to you. I said should have mentioned it.
Oh, right. Okay. Then go on and mention it.
It's a flux capacitor.
And it's... I bought... If I can put it on the camera. I bought two of them because they had a buy one, get one free special. And my wife has a smartphone, you know, like most normal people. And this thing has a dual charger where it does a 2.1 amp because her phone takes forever. Like if you plug it into a... You guys probably experience this, but, you know, it says it'll take longer because it's not a strong enough charger or something. So this one's got the 2.1 amp charger on it, and it's got an on-off switch. The only complaint is it's really, really bright. I put a link to the product in the chat room. And when I have this in my Mustang at night and it lights up, it's almost blindingly bright. I wish I could dim it a little bit, but it's just the coolest thing ever. And it makes me want to drive 88 miles an hour.
Not flip charger, is it?
Yeah, it could be, absolutely. And the 12 volt plug on the back is on a hinge so that it moves up and down according to the way to conform to the layout of different dashboards on different cars.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Because I was sitting thinking that's going to be a bit close to my gear shift. So,
yeah, it's obviously there's really no right side up. You could put it in one way or the other, but it's you can charge two devices at the same time. And like I say, one of them is a high output 2.1 amp. So it'll charge your most demanding device fairly quickly. And I just want it for the flux capacitor. I don't even need to charge anything with it. I just want to turn that thing on and roll my windows down and show it off.
Say again, Alistair.
Does it kind of blink and shine just like in the proper flux capacitor?
Oh, if you click
the exactly.
Link, it's three lights that stream from the outside to the inside just like the flux capacitor does. Yeah,
I want one of those.
24.
Now I have to buy a car with a 12-volt charger behind the seat, between the seats, so I can stick that right there in the back. And I'm all set.
There's got to be a way to rig that up, man. Get yourself a 3D printer. Bit of Sugru.
Yeah. And if it's got Chevron pixels, I'm definitely getting one. Yeah,
exactly.
$24.99, but you've got to get it from... Actually, I've got to say, ThinkGeek are pretty good, because I've ordered stuff, and it comes fairly quickly. It's not... And you don't pay any... they must lie on the CN22 label, but you don't. I haven't paid any import tax on it, so...
That's a dangerous site for me to go on. There's so much cool, useless stuff on there.
So there you go, Alistair. Batwench has found it in the UK, and so is Muller Biker on Amazon, and it's £35. You thieving bastards!
It's £27.62.
It's £27.62, I found.
Still thieving bastards!
But it's not on Prime, you're all right.
And there's a $49 flux capacitor watch you can buy as well, which is really nasty. That looks disgusting.
You get a free car.
That's actually that's worse than Graham's Casio watch.
I'm going to wait for the worldwide launch at PC World.
Wait till it comes at PC World. That's fighting talk. And you can get the kit one as well, as in Knight Rider 2000.
Oh, that's right.
Jesus, $33. I know we're getting
now,
Brexit.
Keep in mind, they do have sales. Like when I bought mine, I got buy one get one free. So,
okay, cool. That'll make it worth it. But the prices in the UK, we're getting really humped. God almighty.
Taking back control, mate.
It is, yeah. Mate, don't talk to me. I'm not talking about Brexit or the US presidential election. God, we're getting into loads of trouble. Cam, save us with a decent, cool thing.
Sorry, I'm going to take over for Jeff this week. So it's a podcast.
Oh, I thought you were going to say sex toy. Jesus.
My dad wrote a porno. The podcast, it's in season two now. I've had a bit of a podcast lull recently. I've kind of got a little bit bored with some of the podcasts I used to listen to. So I was on a train journey last week and saw a recommendation in the Metro on the train about this. And a guy, Jamie Morton, has his 60-year-old dad has had a go at writing an erotic novel. And he's got hold of it, and he's basically turned it into a comedy podcast, each episode being one chapter from the book. So he's teamed up with a comedian, James Cooper, and Alice Levine from Radio 1, and they've put it out there. Now,
you've only got to type my space D into Google, and the first return is my dad wrote a porno.
He says it's 100% genuine. I don't know how convinced I am, but it is funny. It's funny. I started listening to it on the train. I was borderline belly laughing at some points. it's worth a listen. See if you like it.
I've got a fair bit of driving to do over the next couple of weeks, so I'll be listening to that and catching up. 51 episodes to catch up on.
Yeah.
Excellent.
The episodes are short. They are literally sort of 20, 25-minute episodes, but, yeah, there's some funny stuff in there.
Excellent. Oh, that's I'll have that. Well done. Good pick, mate. Thank you. I hope it's a good pick. Righty boy, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, my app is the free app of the, I think it's of the week in the App Store on iOS. It's Night Sky 4, which I've never got one of these apps before, so it's one of these stargazing apps.
Oh yes, love them.
And we were stood outside earlier, and it's just absolutely, you can't see here, but we're sitting there doing that, and it tells me that I can see different sorts of, I can see Neptune over there, and I can see different constellations, Vega, Cygnus, but it's got even got all the satellites that circle the Earth as well, which is quite nice. And I've never been into one of these, but I think it's normally at £5, but it's a free app of the week at the moment. So if you grab it now, It does come with a premium version. So it's got in-app purchase, but it's like, it gives you, the free version is good enough. I've always wanted to like look up at the sky and just go, I wonder what that is. And it does just that.
Night Sky 4, Alistair.
Yeah.
Okay. Looks very similar to Skywalk.
Skywalk's excellent. Have you got like a red vision thing as well where you can turn it red so you don't spoil your night vision?
Yes, it has got that. Yes. Yeah, I don't know how to do it on here, but it did come up in the introduction about light pollution. So I only got it tonight, obviously looking for a cool thing for the big show, and then this came up at the top of the App Store. And I actually, instead of looking at my story, me and my daughter spent about half an hour in the back garden just looking at the stars, and she was absolutely fascinated. And, you know, I said to her, you want to download that? She said, well, why should I download that? So you might get some homework on this. It's, even if you download it and delete it, you know, you've got it one day. And instead of forking out for it, you get it for now. So I thought it was a great little kind of education thing. And I think, when the skies are clear over Norwich, which they generally are, because we don't have any electricity, we can go out and look at the stars.
Dark sky.
Do watch out for it, because as with Skywalk, it says it offers Apple Watch integration. But the point, it is utterly pointless to do with the watch. It's got no value whatsoever on the watch.
No.
So don't get suckered into that. They're all crap for it, though, so it's not, you're not falling for anything. But okay. Yeah, Night Sky 4. Good pick, mate. Like that one.
Cheers.
Definitely like that one. Muller and Graham. Lauren,
I'll let Graham do his.
Well,
have you got a cool thing, Graham?
Yes.
Is it the Nintendo Switch?
No.
I hope not.
I hope not.
I gave you the link.
No, I know that you're always a big fan of Bluetooth headphones.
Yes.
Yeah, you kind of are and you kind of are not. There's always been of a...
There's moments.
Everybody that's always on there, they are. But my cool thing is the Plantronics Backbeat Fit. Only because I work for myself. I work all the time by myself. That's why I listen to you guys.
Right.
So I wear these Bluetooth headphones, and they are just, in my opinion, the best fit, because they don't have anything dangling down, no piece of cable or anything. They're fitness ones, so the sweat doesn't bother them.
Right.
And they are just superb. And I think I should let you chaps know about them. Those guys there. I've actually bought three pairs of them, because... The one thing you always said is the battery life. They last 6 hours.
Oh, that's good.
On a good stretch.
That's good.
I have three pairs. I have one pair beside my bed when I'm watching my iPad, and I've got two pairs in my car when I'm working. So every time it says the battery low, I put it in the car, plug it in, put the next pair on.
£58 and 98 on.
See, it's not fair. It doesn't show you how they fit on the head, because the only thing, when you work for a living, not like you boys.
They're round the back of the head.
When you do a manual job for a living, in the summertime, you sweat. And when you've got these things in with a little cable like that here, it does tend to stick to you. And when you move around... it does stick and it does pull it out.
Yeah.
This thing goes round your head and it goes...
There's a loop round the back here, round the back of the head.
But high on the neck.
Right.
It goes over here and it's...
So you're not pulling it out with your shirt.
Once you've got it on, you don't know it's on.
Brilliant. Good one.
I've actually done the same as what you've done in the shower with your glasses.
Yes.
I've been to the shower, I'm washing and think, what the hell is that? And I've still got the headphones in. They're that comfortable.
A sheet like them.
Moving on swiftly, they are £58 and 98 pence. The Plantronic Backbeat Fit Wireless.
The first ones were quite expensive, but then I got the...
That's what they are at the moment on Amazon.co.uk. Sorry, what was the question there, Alistair?
Sorry, did they sound all right or what?
They sound all right.
Are they comfortable?
Music listening, I would say no, but I don't really listen to music.
I listen to the spoken word all the time.
Right. That's all I listen to.
Which is quite interesting, because a lot of earphones that you buy, they're too bassy for spoken word. So, yeah.
No, the bass is rubbish. Then
good,
but they're very good for what I use them for.
Okay, jolly good. Well done, mate. Thank you very much. And Muller, what's your cool thing?
I let him do it. Cadmium.
No. What is it?
Okay, well, I did buy a sound card. I'd love to get the link for you now, so I wasn't going to do one.
I bought the Sound Blaster Z. If you need a link, I'll find it. But
all right, okay, we'll put it in later.
I was having a few problems with the computer keep crashing, so I decided, I thought it was the Realtek drivers. So I went and got myself this. Just finding it, sorry. I went online and got me the Sound Blaster, and I actually think it's a cracking card. Glows nice and red in the computer, and it's got digital input, and that it's a bit fiddly to get it working straight away, but but other than that, it's tasty. Oh, sorry about this. I'm trying to find the link at the same time. Hold on, give me a sec. This is not working. I'm wiser.
Oh, don't worry. It's fine. We'll find a link. Don't worry.
Okay.
It's good. Okay, cool.
That's about it, really. It's a sound card.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Dabs? Oh, it's
gone. Well, there'll be hopefully my weekly column at the Register tomorrow morning. Well, I say hopefully because I've not written it yet. But
you're kidding. You're a just-in-time man.
Yeah, I think I might write it about Suguru or something.
I do my best work at deadlines, mate. Always.
But, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Thank you, mate. Excellent. Carrie, where are you, sir?
Check out all my latest videos at YouTube. Just go to carrieholzman.com or the DIY Garage at Newegg TV.
Excellent. Camps, where are you?
I'm Camping UK on Twitter, generally on The Big Show most weeks, occasionally on Match Show, and normally in and around the Slack room.
Cool. Righty boy.
Paul on Twitter, mate. Like Camps, down in the Slack room. Give him some abuse. And BritishTechNetwork.com.
Excellent. Graham, where can people get hold of you? And thank you for coming, mate, and being the butt of our jokes this evening.
Hello. Yeah. I don't really do social media.
No, okay, right, mate. And you don't do technology from what we've listened to tonight. Muller, where are you, mate?
You can get me in the Slack room. I write reviews, by the way. You keep forgetting to tell people that. And you get me on Muller Biker on Twitter. And, that's about it, really.
Excellent. Now then, want to go to the Apple keynote and you can't afford the flight to Cupertino next Thursday, do get yourself along to the John Balkan pub in London in Marylebone, and the London Mac User Group will be there. They're hosting a line event and they'll have a live stream of the whole keynote going on, and you can join in with some people who love Mac and have a listen yourself. It's well worth it. Martin's left the chat room and he hasn't heard me say it now because I forgot to do it during the bloody Mac show like an idiot. So there we go. And don't forget that the photo show's back. I'm not doing it. I haven't done it today because I was down in Bristol, but I'll try and get it done sometime over the weekend or early next week and get it out to you. And there'll be two quite close together next week. So there we go. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and we'll see you next week as normal. We might do. Actually, Big Show might be going on because we've got the Apple keynote at 6 o'clock, which I'm here for, and then we'll have the Big Show straight after that. So it might be an hour earlier, that's all. So see you all next week. Thanks for listening.